Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depth its flow may richer fuller be. O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fairer be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promises not vain that morn shall tearless be. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. Life that shall endless be.
Good evening, saints. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. Today is December the 6th. Can you believe that? It's December 6th. Before you know it, we'll blink and the month will be over. But it's not over yet, and we're still making our way through Romans 16. So let me invite you to turn to Romans 16, verse 17. Romans 16, 17, I'll start reading at verse 16, just to give us some context. Romans 16, 16, and 17, but our main text is verse 17. It reads, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions, plural, and offenses, plural, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today for another opportunity to sit around your manna table, to be fed yet again fresh heavenly manna. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and we welcome it, and we rejoice in the fact that we are back again considering your word, the word that gives us life and vitality, the word that points us to Christ and sound, respectable Christian living. Bless us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Well, this is the 13th series on Romans 16. This is series number 13. We've been in Romans 16 for 13 weeks now. And you'll notice that there's a change of tone from verse 1 through verse 16. Paul is just reminding the saints to continue to love one another. They have a good thing going on there in the Church of Rome. The brothers and sisters really care about each other. They really support each other. They have, as we say on the street, each other's back. And they're a tight-knit group. This is what you find from verses 1 through 16. And even when Paul says, hey, there's a new person coming your way. Her name is Sister Phoebe. When she comes your way, give her the same kind of love, because Phoebe was a member. She was a deaconess of the Church of Cenchrea. And Paul says, when she comes your way, love on her. Give her the same kind of love. Give her the same kind of care. Give her the same kind of attention. Give her the same kind of support that you, the Church of Rome, this tight-knit fellowship, give to each other. Give it to her. Spread the love. And all throughout the 16 verses, Paul is just saluting, greeting, and encouraging the saints. And in the end, he says, all the churches of Christ salute you. Now, in verse 17, there's a complete change of tone. Complete. It seems like, in verse 17, Paul's got his pastor's glasses on, his pastor's discerning vision, and he can see enemies coming. And that's predictable, because whenever the church is operating in love, whenever the members of a church truly care about one another, whenever a congregation is doing as Christ said, if you're my disciples, you will love one another, and this the world will know that you are truly my disciples and that you practice what you preach, and you're just like me, you love each other. So that's the last thing Satan wants. The last thing that Satan wants is a church living for Christ and living out the word of the Lord and doing as Christ would have them to do. So Satan sends in his emissaries. And this is the alarming. This is the strong, urgent, apostolic pleading that you find here in verse 17, part A. Now that word now, see that word now? Now I beseech you, brethren, now, that word now, is the Greek participle de, D-E, de. And it means a change of topic, a change of tone. It's a transitional word. It's a word that tells you there's a change in focus, a change in tone. Paul here is alarmed. He says, now, day. Notice he's all happy with the Church of Rome. He's happy about their unity. He's happy about their efforts for Christ. He's happy in the fact that so many people there are working for the Lord and working much for the Lord, spreading the gospel, loving the poor, caring for the sick, doing the work of the ministry. And now he says, but now I need to grab your focus. I need to have your undivided. I got to tell you, something's coming your way. Brethren, brethren, listen to me, Paul says. Now listen to me. As if some perhaps were just elated over all the compliments that Paul had given them. And he says, now listen to me. Now you really got to get focused. You really got to pay attention. He says, now I beseech you, brethren. I, the apostle, this is a strong, urgent apostolic pleading. Now, I beseech you. This word beseech in Greek is a compound. It's two words in one. Para, P-A-R-A, para. It means alongside. The word means alongside, like you have the Holy Spirit is our paraclete. The paraclete, the person who comes alongside of us. You have paralegals. You have in a classroom, you have teachers, and then you have paraprofessionals. A paraprofessional is a teacher in the making who is put in the classroom to help a teacher who's overwhelmed because of her class size. So you have paraprofessionals, paralegals, someone who comes alongside of a lawyer, someone who does research for a judge. Paul says, I beseech you, para. In other words, listen, I'm calling alongside of you. And then the next word, the other word that's added to para is kaleo. I'm coming alongside of you and I'm calling you for an emergency session. Kaleo. I'm coming alongside of you to give you some necessary advice. Interesting to note, the word parakaleo is almost descriptive of an expert calling novices. Paul is the master builder. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, as the wise master builder, Paul is the master apostle. And he says, listen, I'm going to parakaleo you. I'm calling you alongside of me because I got to give you my expert advice. You need my instruction. You need my help. You need my aid. If I don't give you this, you're in trouble, kaleo. I beseech you. I urgently call you to attention. I urgently call you to receive what I'm about to tell you. I urgently call you to receive theological and ministerial aid. You're going to need this. You're going to need it if the Church of Rome is going to survive. You're doing well to this point. You are caring for one another. You're a great church, a hardworking church. There are no lazy members in this church. Everyone is working hard for the Lord. Everyone needs to be commended. Everyone needs to be praised because they truly love the Lord. They love one another. They love their sinner man. They're preaching the gospel. They're sharing the gospel. They're evangelizing. All of that is to be commended. But now I need to call you by my side because there's a storm brewing. There's a storm heading your way. It's not a natural storm. It's a satanic, it's a demonic storm, and it's headed your way. Come here. Come to me. I'm the expert. I will give you the sound advice that you need in order to weather this storm. That's the word parakaleo. It's like when a doctor calls a patient. He says, you got to come to my office. And the patient comes to the office and the doctor says, well, we did all the tests and we took the x-rays and we did everything. And this is what we found. You have a tumor. And so the patient's heart drops to the ground. And the patient says, okay, doctor, you've called me. You've parakaleo me. You're the expert. What do I do? What are my options, doctor? And the doctor says, well, these are your different options. How would you like to proceed? Because if we don't attack this now, if we don't deal with it now, if you let it go on a couple of more months, you're going to get beyond the point of no return. I won't be able to do anything for you. We got to attack the aggressive cancer now. It will become aggressive if you don't deal with it now. Now, this is the time is now. The expert has called you to the office. The person who deals with cancer every day, the person who can read the X-rays and can read all of the tests that were done, and who knows everything that's going on with your body because he's reading all the results of your exam. He's skilled. She's skilled. The doctor is skilled in reading all the results of every exam you've ever taken, and they know where you stand at this moment in time. And he says, this is my advice to you. Now, you can go for a second opinion, and I will give you the X-rays. I will give you the test. I'll give you everything, but I can assure you that the next doctor you see is going to tell you the same thing, because experts can't deny the test. You can't go against the test. You can't go against the proof. The proof is there. So you go to the second doctor, you get a second opinion, and the second doctor says your first doctor was right. You parakaleo. The expert calling you to attention to provide you with what? Instructional expertise. And not just to provide you with instructional expertise, but in order to aid you, help you, encourage you. The doctor says there's hope. We can meet this head on, but we got to do it now. So now, let's look at the text again. Paul says, now, I want to introduce a new topic. They parakaleo. Listen, I need to sound the alarm. Something bad is heading towards your happy church. Boy, is it a happy church. Boy, is it a wonderful church. It's a wonderful church. But Paul says something's coming. And you need to prepare. And here's my advice. Here's my advice. So now, let me give you an example in the Bible of Paul doing what he's doing here for the Romans. Turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the 20th chapter, and we're going to start reading at verse number 17. Acts 20, 17. Now here, Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. And he wants to catch a ship so that he can make it to Jerusalem by Pentecost, by the spring feast of Pentecost. The spring feast of Pentecost was March or April, depending on the calendar year. Just the same way our Pentecost sometimes is in April or May. So the apostle is saying, I want to parakaleo. I want you to get all the elders, all the pastors of the Church of Ephesus. Bring them to me because I need to give them some Holy Spirit advice. Para, kaleo. He's calling them by his side so that he can tutor them. Now remember, Paul founded the Church of Ephesus and pastored the church for 3 years. He was its founder and pastor for the first 3 years of that church's existence. And now, heading towards Jerusalem, he is prompted by the Holy Spirit to call the church leaders by his side, who up to this point are inexperienced in so many ways, and he wants to tell them, he wants to give them a warning. This is what the word parakaleo means. Again, someone who is far more advanced, far more skilled, far more experienced, giving advice to those who need it. Acts 20, verse 17. Thus beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God.
So that's his introduction. He says, now you know my history among you. You know my ministry here. You know all the suffering that I went through to establish this church, all the suffering that I went through in preaching this gospel of grace to you Gentiles, as to how the Jews wanted to take my life, how I've been preserved again and again and again, and I stand before you this day. I will never see your face again. This is the last time I will see you. I'm sure of that. Now, in verse 28, this is where he gives them the admonition. This is where he beseeches them. From verse 28 through verse 31. Let's read.
Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears.
So Paul says, what's coming? A wolf pack is coming. That's what's coming. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Verse 29, for I know this. He can see it with a prophetic lens. For I know this, that after my departing, after I say my goodbyes to you, will attack this church. After my departing, shall what kind of wolves? Grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They are flock destroyers. And this is why it was needful for me that before I got on the ship and went to Jerusalem before Pentecost, that I would make a pit stop here to call you by my side, to beseech you and give you this warning, to parakaleo you, to give you advice. Now, they wouldn't do it when I was here, but after I'm gone, once they know that the expert master builder is no longer there, they will attack the flock, and their goal, their aim, their objective is to not spare the flock. They will decimate the flock. Remember that when I was with you for 3 years. I ceased not to warn you with tears. I was not a dispassionate prophet and pastor. Prophet is one who warns. Pastor is one who protects. He says, now, you saw me crying. You saw me warning you day and night with tears. Yes, there's a lot of pain in the ministry. There's a lot of heartache in the ministry. Not from the members. No. The members are wonderful. You didn't bring me to tears. You didn't break my heart. You were wonderful. What was breaking my heart and what brought me to tears was the thought that right over the hill, if you will, there's a wolf pack waiting for my departure, ready to pounce on the flock. And my fear of you taking my recommendation lightly. Because when they come, they will spare nothing. Their goal is complete decimation. That's their goal. So when Paul looks at the church of Rome and he says, you got a great thing going here. You got a great congregation filled with great leaders, hardworking leaders. But now I beseech you, now I call you by my side. I see what I saw in Ephesus. I see it now over the horizon here at Rome. Another wolf pack on the way. And this is the, listen, shepherding is not about just feeding. It's not just about guiding. It's not just about watering. The other side of the coin is protecting the flock, because anytime you have something good going on, Satan will send his wolf pack. We're going to leave it there. We'll come back tomorrow as we continue this series on Romans 16:17. It's only going to get better from here on out. I leave you with the song, Love One Another. God bless you, saints. Don't forget, 6:55 p.m. tonight, we have prayer. God bless you.
Love one another, for love.